can't believe Mike would say what he did about what some people consider a home after this last year. About the rats and everything. The guys, Billy and Michael, have been there, and they probably, you know, don't think it's a big deal, but I think their wives understood me. I didn't think I was going to make it this year to the conference. I did okay until the last couple of months. In the last couple of months, I got pretty down, and I kept telling them, I just know I'm going to die here. I'm going to die in this shop. And if I do, I'm going to haunt you, Sri Lanka, with your new wife in that house. It just was really, it was kind of hard. I didn't mind the sawdust or even the noise of the machines. I'm used to that. And he was just as happy as he could be laying next to him, you know. But when your house is two rooms, one room is washer, dryer, stove, refrigerator, and table, and then you got a blanket across it so you can put your bed on the other side of the blanket. And then he talked about the rats. Well, we had rats, lots of them. And Mark, one day, most of the time they were small, and I saw them outside in the shop. But this one time, I went to take a shower and walked back in the kitchen, and there's this rat, and I'm not kidding. It's just, I'm not kidding, it is. And I closed the door, and I walked over to the house, and Mark and Michael were working on it. And I said, I'm not going back in there until someone comes and kills it. I'm not going back in there. And Marco went over and he took everything apart, everything. And I went with Kelly, and I finally walked over there after about an hour thinking, you know, surely by now. And he had just killed it. But what had happened is he had taken the washer out, the dryer, everything apart. And then he looked over and the rat's sitting on my pillow. So, you know, it really got to me. Yeah, I admit it. I wasn't a real good sport the last couple of minutes. I took everything off and washed everything. But, I mean, it was better than some of these people have. It really was. I mean, I was thankful that we had a place to be, that we didn't have to be in the house with no windows or doors. But it was kind of tough. And I am now in my house, which, thanks to Billy, Michael, Stephen, and Marco, it's done. And I'm real thankful to be in it. I got to see now. 1 Samuel 3:1 has been these verses. It's been about the last month that I keep looking at these. I kept wanting to share them, but you can. I don't know. I never did get up and share them. I couldn't get my. I'm not sure I'll be able to get across what I wanted to today, but. It's the last part, and it says, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And then in Amos 8:11, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And it's just been, these verses have really been on my heart a lot, just wondering how precious is the word of the Lord to me. Is it still precious to me? You know, Marco has been getting a lot of laughter, the brothers and sisters, because he says y'all are new Christians, and it just seems like y'all have already lost your first love. But it's been hitting me, because I have, and the word of the Lord hasn't been so precious to me. And then I see the news from the States, and I come up here, and I hear all this stuff, you know, taking prayer out of the schools, and taking, I don't know, the things that have all the things they're doing, you know, taking God out. And it just makes, it really is sad. We had a chance to visit Virginia and Washington, and I don't know a lot of American history, but to see what this country was founded on and to read about it, and it just brought tears to my eyes to see, and then to see what's happening now, and it made me think of these verses. You know, the word of God, that the word was precious in those days. And in Mexico, it's a country that's full of idolatry. So the word of God isn't precious. I mean, they know nothing about it. Like Mike said, they can't even find the books of the Bible. But it's just, it's something that we want to bring to them. We want that to happen. It has slowly. Pachuca, I think, right now is the newest work there is in Mexico. And for the first year, the first couple of meetings, I was really excited. People started coming right over and sitting with us, which was so different than León, which, you know, like for 6 months we had nobody. But nobody stayed. Nobody got saved. And it was a year, almost a year before anybody even got saved, even though we had a lot of people coming and sitting with us. And so that was a little more discouraging to me, at least. And I would say, you know, nothing's happening. And they got after me. Yeah, things are happening. You just don't see them. That's what you're... And it's true. The Lord was working.
Amen.
But that couple that Michael might mention that weren't married, they were the first ones. She was already saved, hadn't grown at all in the Lord, but she was saved. He wasn't. He got saved. And they've been faithful since. She went with us to the ladies. She was the only one. The Pachuca Church took one lady to the women's meeting conference that the girls had. And we hope that if our pastoras, Debbie, Terry, and Karen, will do it again. That's what I call them. They're good preachers. But if they do it again, no, we do hope that we'll take quite a few more. There is quite a few now in the church. There's probably 12 faithful adults. Several of them are actual families. Some of them are single women. Single mothers. There's not many single mothers. But some of them are actual couples, and they have their children, and they're bringing their children. But there's 12 that are faithful on time, and they're sharing in the meetings faithfully, which is also encouraging. Of those, most of them are learning to handle their Bible well. They can find the verses. They're even helping one of them. Her husband has a hard time, so she's helping him now. And this one couple, that couple, they invited us to eat, and we got over there, and they were showing us pictures of what their house looked like just before they got saved. And they've only been saved a few months, but they had images, just their wall. It was like wallpaper, and the whole house. He also built these little tiny houses, like model homes. Little model houses, just a hobby. And even that had images in every little window and door. And they were just showing us, you know, what their home looked like before. And they said, we just don't understand how, you know, it's amazing what the Lord has done. And how they were willing. They said they spent, you can imagine how long it took them to burn them or whatever they did with them. And so the Lord is working. They see it right away. It's not like I said, they've only been saved a few months, and it didn't take them long at all to know to get rid of it. And then there's around six brothers and sisters that aren't so faithful, that come most, you know, some of the time. Some Sundays, some days not, and they're not on time when they do come, which is hard for the Sunday school teachers because they have a lot of kids, and they come halfway, so we got to start all over again with the class, you know, and we've already started it. But we are praying that they will see the need to be faithful and to be on time. These three, especially three of these ladies, their husbands aren't saved, so they have a harder time. You know, the others, their husbands are saved, and so that makes it easier. They come as a family. But these ladies and the baggage that they have, like Mike said, they have so much baggage and so many problems. And sometimes it's so hard to know what to say to them, even advice, because really they just need to talk, and all we can do is listen. Because some of their problems, at least I don't see much any way to help them. One has a daughter, this single mother has a daughter who's only 13, just turned 13, and she's already been sleeping around a bunch, 13 years old. And she'd send her to school, she wouldn't come back till the next morning. And, she'd call, Marco didn't have a phone, he has a cell phone number, he didn't have one, so she'd call me up and say, Marco said to call him anytime I needed help, and she hasn't come home tonight. So then I'd go get Marco or call Noe, you know, and he has a phone, and told him. But, you know, it's just not time after time after time she's done it. And it's hard to know what to tell her. She's 13 years old. And finally we just, to the brothers and even we told her, take her to work with you. If she doesn't want to go to school, then take her with you when she cleans houses. Take her with you. Don't let her, you know, you can't leave her home. She's looking for, but even that, she's still getting, she still escapes. So it's a lot of times it's just listening, because it's hard to know what to tell them. There's really sometimes no answer to their problems. And just pray for them, because she's real faithful. She's a faithful sister. She's just, you know, like Mike said, they got saved later on. She's got older boys that are drug addicts, and so there's no example there. There's no father, and it's a hard thing. We just baptized five brothers and sisters, a couple Sundays ago. And that was a real blessing. There were some others that wanted to get baptized. One has health problems, and so she chose to wait It was real encouraging to see these five, and they all got up in the front and gave a testimony about being saved. They shared a verse, and so that was a real blessing to see that, you know, that the Lord is, like I was saying, nothing was happening. The Lord was working, and I feel bad because I do have little faith. I wasn't seeing things, and so it was discouraging to me, but I'm glad the Lord keeps working even though we don't have a lot of faith. When we first started, there was a couple that, well, she actually was listening on the side and came up and asked how to be saved after she heard the message. And so we were talking to her, we talked for quite a while, and then she asked if we could maybe go to her house, meet her husband and have studies. So Mike and Marco went over there a lot of times to have studies with him. He considers himself real good and just. He's a real nice guy, you know. He's faithful husband, good dad, hard worker, and so he doesn't think he needs anything. And even though they had studies for a long time, he finally let him know, I don't need anything. You know, I read the Bible, and he'd read the Bible a lot, so he knows the Bible, you know, some. And he just didn't think he needed anything. So we kind of lost touch with him. You know, they didn't want anything. She was more interested, but because of him, I think they just kind of pushed us away. And about a month ago, they came around to a couple meetings, just showed up. Excuse me, and they started asking questions, and so we answered the questions. We told them we were glad to have them. We, you know, didn't put any pressure on them. Just glad you came, and then they'd come back. And a couple meetings after that, they'd show up again. And then he's come by himself, which is really something. That he has a little business just a couple blocks away, so he'll walk over on Thursdays and come up and stand there and. You know, so we're really praying that there was a seed planted and that the Lord would do something there. in Colossians 1, 2 and 3, it says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And I was just seeing these verses, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. And my thought was, which are in San Antonio. I was discouraged a little while back. Mike talked about the losses that we've had in the churches, especially San Luis, the young people that were really on fire for the Lord, and they really were good preachers. I believe that they were saved. They had a testimony. There was a change in their life, but for different reasons. You know, they got back into the world, and I know it's happened here too, so you do know, but it was real discouraging to me to hear about another loss, and someone else left, or someone fell into sin, and it was just... It was really getting me down. Then Querétaro had a few cases, mostly people leaving, you know, not so much sin and not so much going back into the world, but just leaving, not knowing, I don't know if they're meeting anywhere or not, but it was real discouraging to me, and I just was focusing on that, and I was just really down about it, because it's hard to see these people who you've won to the Lord and you've seen a change in their life. It's not like they just, you know, came every other Sunday or once a month. They were faithful brothers and sisters, and it's hard to see that they're not coming anymore. Right. I know y'all know that. So I was really focusing on that, and a couple of people, a couple of sisters told me I need to start focusing on the ones that were left.
Amen.
Those that are faithful.
Amen.
Those that are still going, that are still preaching. And it really hit me. I really hadn't thought of it that way. I guess I felt like I ought to be sad for them, you know. And I felt like I should be sad. And I don't know that we shouldn't be sad, but I mean, for sure not stay in that. And it really hit me. It is true. I need to start focusing on those that are faithful, those that have stayed, those that are plugging on. They're having troubles too, but they're plugging on. And it made me think of y'all here up here, because not only are there are those in Querétaro and San Luis, I'm sure all the other churches, Morelia, Celaya, all the other churches, you know, but there are those that are still plugging on. The church in San Luis that we left, Beto is, of course, the only elder now, and it's mostly women, which is discouraging. He wants, you know, he really wants the Lord to raise men, but so far it's been mainly women. The men just don't seem to have a lot of interest. But yet they're still going. And there's a sister there that's my age that got saved through her kid's testimony, and she's still going, she's still Amen. Faithful. And I had to start focusing on that.
That's right.
And thinking, hey, they're still going. Okay, it's not about what we wish it would, what we wish it was. And what it could be, maybe, but they are still going. They're still preaching the gospel. They're still supporting the missionaries, and they're still sending out, like they were saying. There's 10 missionaries out of all these churches, and that's a blessing. And even with all the losses, there's still some
Amen.
Those that stay. And like I said, it made me think of y'all up here. I know y'all have had your losses too, and people leaving and all that. And it, but it made me real thankful to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are in San Antonio. And then as we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And I think it was Debbie, maybe Janice, both of them maybe mentioned that they do thank so much. Thank the Lord so much for y'all. Even though Pachuca, which is the youngest church, doesn't know a lot about San Antonio yet. It usually comes with time. They get to hear about, you know, the conferences or, you know, different ones. And, of course, we're the only ones from San Antonio. In the other churches, there was three of us from San Antonio or four of us. But they, in Pachuca, we already start telling them, you know, they know that we're there because of the vision of this church, because of the prayers and the offerings of this church. And so when they knew we were coming up here, and they send their greetings, and they pray for y'all on Thursday nights, that is definitely one meeting that they come prepared for. They come with burdens. They have a lot of problems, a lot of things, but they remember. And I think in most churches that's what they do, in smaller groups of four or five. And they pray for not only what they've heard, you know, their own burdens, but they also pray for the church in San Antonio. And when, even though they don't know you, you know, when Marty had her surgery and when Lindell had his problems, and, you know, we mention them and when we tell them, okay, because most of them know Billy or Michael, they've heard him preach in conferences or something, so, or they've been to our church, and so we would say, okay, it's Billy's dad. And they really do thank the Lord for y'all as a church that you're, because of your vision, they've heard the gospel. Because of you, they're saved. And these people, like I said, are people that some of them were real religious, some of them weren't, but they were all lost in sin, and they're on the way to hell. And they are very, very thankful.
Amen.
And so are we. We really are. I thank you for your faithfulness and for your prayers, for your offerings, for all these years. It's been a lot of years. And Mike and I were probably the least prepared of any missionary you've ever sent, but we thank you for taking us on, and we pray that we will be continuing to be effective. One last thing is the co-workers. We really enjoyed working with our kids. We worked with both Michael and Marco and Kelly and Querétaro, and of course Adrian Arlene. But we did enjoy working with our kids. And so when Michael left, I mean, we knew he was leaving earlier than we were, and that was fine, but we were going to get back together. And so that didn't work out. He ended up going to Toluca, and so we do really miss working with Michael and Terry. But we are very thankful for our co-workers. They're good, faithful men and women. We work with Mark and Kelly still.
Amen.
And then we work with Noe Nena, who is a missionary out of León, went to Celaya, and then now he's in Pachuca with us. And he's a really sweet, sweet, good brother. And his wife and two little girls are faithful. They're soul winners. He's got a pastor's heart. I mean, he's really a good man.
Yes.
And we're really thankful that we have him to work with. And then there's the two guys that Mike mentioned, Isaac and Manuel, that came out of the church in Querétaro. And that was exciting because that was the first two missionaries out of Querétaro. And they came as single men. And so we would try to have them over some. Kelly mainly had to try to have them over some for meals and stuff like that. But they just recently got married, both of them, and they married really good girls, like Mike said. Good, faithful girls who desired to marry a preacher, a missionary. And they're Sunday school teachers, too. So I'm real happy about that. We got now five. There was three of us. But now with five of us, we're going to start splitting the kids up by ages because even though none of them know anything, I mean, our kids have been through a lot of the classes, so they know stuff. Noah's girls are right between Taylor's age, so they could have a class that's a little bit more deep,
yes,
more advanced, but because they're in with the other kids, we just start from scratch. So we still have to start from scratch even with the older ones, but we maybe can do it in, you know, in a better way by dividing them, because some of them are 2 and 3 years old, so it's kind of hard when they're together. And then the 12-year-olds are embarrassed to be with the little bitty ones. So we're going to start, when we get back in May, we'll start dividing into groups with five teachers.
Amen.
And with that, we are real thankful to Marty, because she did an amazing job.
Yeah.
It's just amazing what she did. I hadn't taught Sunday school in, I don't know how many years. I guess probably since maybe, no, I guess San Luis, when we were there, when we moved back to San Luis. But Kelly and these two girls were trained, not under Marty, but with Marty, with what Marty left the other sister, Yenny. And so they know they're really good lessons. They're very well prepared, and we're really thankful to her and for her ministry, because it has gone on. Now, I think that even Terry and them are starting to use it too. So it has spread from Querétaro to Pachuca to Toluca, and that's a blessing, because I'm not a teacher. I am not a kids teacher at all, and I'm not organized. Kelly's the one that organizes us. But it's made it much easier with what Marty left, and that's been a blessing, because it is a work. I mean, sometimes I tend to forget that these kids, you know, they need to get saved. I tend to think of it as babysitting, but the truth is they need the gospel, and so we are thankful for that. And I think that's it. We just thank you again for your offerings, your prayers, and for you being faithful. Like Linda was talking this morning about how people thought that, you know, he thought it just wasn't going to go. Time after time, this was going to be it. This was going to be it. And I'm just thankful that not only him, but those, you know, Brian and I mean, at one time, Brent, all these different ones that have had a part of leading the church have kept plugging on.
Amen.
even with the losses. And I'm sure it was hard. Now I understand a little more, and I'm not even, you know, an elder or anything, but I understand a little more when I've seen the losses we have and how discouraging it is, how it must be hard to keep going on when you see so many losses. And I just thank the Lord for each of you and for the church here. And
Amen.
Just pray pray for these churches down there. They really do want to imitate. They want to go out and preach the gospel. I forgot to say, we do have two men now that are, they're not preaching. One of them preaches with the guys, and the other one just goes and hands out tracts and is with them. But that's a start. We've been praying that the Lord would raise some men in Pachuca. Because we've had this thing in San Luis where it just doesn't seem to bring men, we just are still praying for men in San Luis.
Amen.
But we still constantly pray, the Lord just raise up men to lead, to take over. And so far, two men are having, you know, have the desire to start. And I guess that's a beginning. Thank
Amen.
You.